Barbarian Tribes of Rome. Germanic Religion, Part 2. The Sun God and the Mother Earth. Now, the assimilation of the two different cultures and the formation of the Germanic people was actually a mixture of two radically different religious systems. One was the worship of the sun, or the sky god, on the one hand, and the other, more earthly and more mysterious, was the worship of Mother Earth, the Magna Mater. The religion of the sky god is to be found in more or less definite form among all Indo-European-speaking peoples, and is, in these cases, associated with the patriarchal form of family organization. This religion of the sky god was introduced into Northern Europe by the Indo-European bearers of the corded ware culture. The native culture in the north of Europe was that of the Northern Megalithic, a culture which, if not matriarchally organized, certainly showed signs of its influence. The mixture of these two radically different forms of religious belief can be traced in the use of religious symbols during the Bronze Age. It appears in certain manifestations of the Iron Age and after being for many centuries to a very great degree overshadowed and forced into the background by more dominant religion of the sky god comes decisively into its own again in a renaissance during the Viking Age. This has not been sufficiently stressed in the discussions of religious beliefs of the Germanic peoples. It is because of this double origin of Germanic religious belief that a slightly different interpretation is given to some of the symbols than is customary. In other words, there are reasons for believing that we have symbols of what might be called the submerged religion, that of the Earth Mother. Typical symbols of a religious nature are a simple point with radiating beams of the sun, indication of the four directions of the compass, either with or without the sun wheel, the sun chariot, the swastika, which is a development of the sun wheel, the cross and radiating sun in many forms, the vault of heaven, the tree of life, the symbol of the serpent, the spiral, the concentric circle, and the double-headed axe, cup stones, and cup indentations on the same stone axes which represent the sun symbol of the circle, the beautifully made pins and brooches with their sun circles and sun spirals, the spectacular brooches with their sun circles and sunboat pictures on razors, the horseshoe labyrinth moon disc forms, the processions, the accompanying musical instruments, the masked figures, the votive horses, the deer horns, the dependent votive axes, and the sun symbol on pottery, on girdles, mystical sign of strength. All these and many more appear right through the Bronze Age, the Hallstatt period, the Latin period, post-Christian Iron Age, and continue through to the Viking Age. The evidence is overwhelming. The new element is the demonstration of the use of these symbols on things that are used in everyday life. These symbols seem to permeate the whole life of the people. This is, after all, not so very astonishing. Many of the customs, practices, and beliefs of the modern world are survivals of older customs and cults. The new symbols are being continually created as beliefs and ideological changes. These symbols also become part of our daily life to such an extent that we unconsciously think in terms of them. The main difference is that some of these symbols now appear in a disguised form of the written language, and so we are not always aware of their significance. But in the early days, this expression had to take a different form, and the religious symbols became intimately associated with the ornamental and decorative arts. Such a symbol, such as the shoehorn and its labyrinth forms, may be regarded as a symbol of the moon, and the moon is associated with the worship of Mother Earth. We have here the symbol of practices of the worship of the symbol of fertility in the dark and the mysterious depths of the labyrinth. In that case, it would not be an example of the part circle representing the whole, as sometimes is stated, but a complete unit in itself, and a survival of religious symbolism of the megalithic matriarchally inclined moon-earth worship of reproduction. The axe is usually interpreted as a symbol of the sky god, a symbol of the thunderbolt. But this may very well be a secondary attribution. The axe symbol, especially the double axe, may also be regarded as a phallic symbol, and therefore as a symbol of the reproductive forces of the consort of the Earth Mother, ever-present feature of Magna Mater worship. Later, the symbol was transferred to the sun god when the latter became confused with divine human dying and reviving the consort of the Earth Mother. In a similar way, one can explain the symbolism of the girdles. In mythology, these are always closely associated with the earth. It is by virtue of these girdles that the wearer renews his strength by contact with the Earth Mother. That these girdles should be adorned with symbols of the sky gods should not at all be surprising, because one could expect some such development with the mixture and confusion of cultures and religious symbols. As a matter of fact, there are survivals of the ancient mystery religions and the worship of the sky god in the cult and ritual of Christianity. The serpent and the tree of life have been claimed as symbolic representation of the sky god. May they not with more right be claimed as original symbols of the Earth Mother, and then later transferred to the sky god? The serpent is regarded as a symbol of resurrection because it periodically sheds its skin and its apparent resurrection in a new form. But this idea of resurrection is closely associated with the idea of dying and reviving God, the symbol of the annual death of nature in the autumn and the revival in full strength in the spring. This surely belongs to the Magna Mater cycle, and the tree of life also, the tree which grows out of the Mother Earth and produces the fruit of life and of knowledge, as we can see in the story of Adam and Eve and the serpent. This survival of the older religious symbolism of northern megalithic culture can also be seen in the emphasis in the rock drawings on the symbols of fertility, the pictorial representation of the symbolic union of Mother Earth with her consort, the Corn King of folklorists, and the annual human sacrifice to the goddess of fertility. Now, I don't want to go any further with the symbolism than I've already gone. That's a lot to think about. But if you look at some of the other religions, you look at comparative mythology, you know, you have the Greek stories of the sky god and the Mother Earth, and the Egyptians in the same way with the sky and the earth and the fertilization. Rain is fertilization of the soil. So we have other things, and we're going to compare how these work into such things as Avonbury and other megalithic stone workings, and continue on with this little bit of comparison. I know it's really strange, but we need a lot of background to this. Now, the source for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture by Owens, Civilization of the Celts by Launay, Civilization of the Steppes by Conrad. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.